25 degrees on this chilly Monday morning. Hope that it's going well for you. December the 12th, 9:31 on K1, Evan Farbach, and it's time for City Matters with Ed Gordon and crew. Good morning, Ed.
Evan, it's certainly a joy to see you this morning.
Same to you, sir.
Of course, I see that you had the bat signal out, Robin.
Yes.
Of course, Batman being Phil Weaver.
Yep, Phil is working.
Phil is working.
Like his young ward, I am just messing around in here with you.
That's exactly what you're doing.
That's exactly right.
How's your weekend?
It was pretty good. How was your guys' weekend?
Had a good weekend. Of course, had Dewey Parade was this week. This weekend.
Yeah, we had it here on K1, I believe.
Yeah, it went very well.
Good
parade. Good for Dewey and Kevin Treese and those folks up in Dewey.
Absolutely.
Glad that we have our sister city to the north. They're a real asset to us.
Mm-hmm.
Just dead airspace now when I pause like that?
No, dead air's good. It's good. You can let it breathe for a second.
Okay, all right.
As a radio person, that's okay. Don't be afraid of the... to let it breathe. That's what I always
let it breathe.
That's what Oklahoma State taught me. Don't be afraid to let it breathe.
So you went to school at where?
Oklahoma State.
You went to the Wright University.
Yeah, of course.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't sound so smart if I went to the other one.
I understand. I'm sliding this microphone over a little bit, and then I'll grab that one. And that's stretched out here. We have with us Mr. Terry Lawrenson, our Water Utilities Director.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. And would you introduce it? Use the phrase kind of loosely, the gentleman that you have with you?
I will do my best, but we have Todd Lansdowne, who is our wastewater maintenance superintendent, and then John Miller, who we call Red, who's our water superintendent. I'm not sure why they call Red, because that guy is dark hair and real olive skin. Not quite sure of the nickname.
I'm not sure of the rumor that, did you have to bail him out to get him here to the radio program this morning?
Today or this weekend?
All right, I understand.
Okay.
That's something we don't want to discuss about Mr. Miller. Of course, let's start with Mr. Lansdowne. That name is, by the way, that's kind of a familiar name, Lansdowne.
Yeah.
And
which one?
Well, I'm thinking, did any of your family work for the radio, for the fire station?
Yeah, my dad retired from the Barnesville Fire Department.
I see.
I am a fourth or fifth generation Bartlesman.
Barshan. Yeah.
Barshan, as they put it.
Instead of a Martian.
Yeah, Martian. Barshan. Been here all my life. Went to school at College High and graduated. Went to work for the city of Bartlesville at a young age and been here about almost 35 years.
Been with the city for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Myrna Lansdowne, he kin to you?
That was my sister-in-law and my brother's wife.
Your brother's wife. What's your brother's name?
My brother's name is Alan.
Still work at the Sheriff's Department?
No, he is now retired from all active duties. He's enjoying retirement.
As you've done with the city years ago.
only when you came to work.
Todd, what department do you work in?
I work at Wastewater Maintenance and have for years.
Give us, when you say wastewater maintenance, a maintenance department, how many employees are in the, including you, are in the department?
We have 11, including me, with about an average of about 136 years of experience total. I have several men that's been there over 30 years, and we've all worked together.
I think of Randy.
Randy.
His dad was in the engineering department.
Yep, for many years.
City.
Many years.
Randy Henry.
Yes.
And I think of Larry Dwayne.
Larry Dwayne Plesic. He's just got his 30-year certificate, I think, last week. And then I've got Lynn Taggart. He's been here almost 30. So, and Jeff Brown, who's been here about 27.
So you got some hands that know the system pretty well. And when you talk about wastewater maintenance, exactly what is it that you do in wastewater maintenance?
We take care of all the city lines in the city, any of the sanitary sewer lines, including the force mains, which is a pressure line that gets pumped to the sewer plant. But anything outside the sewer plant is our domain, and we take care of about 300 feet 300 miles of sewer line, and I'm stuttering this morning. Yeah, that's a 300. That's a clean line.
So, 300 miles of sanitary sewer line. The smallest is probably
6 inch,
and then it goes. The biggest is
42.
Okay, I remember working out on the 42 inch line one day and saved Lynn Taggart's life.
He still talks about that, and not very fondly of you.
If it hadn't been for me rescuing him as he fell into that rectangular manhole.
Yeah, if you
okay. Thank you, Todd, for that graphic detail. I appreciate it. We do. I don't know how we'll get out of that. Evan's trying to figure out how to record that, how to look back on that so you can replay that.
We've had a lot of fun through the years.
Todd, folks don't understand, perhaps, in the wastewater maintenance department,
you jetting truck uses high pressure water to clean the line, and as you pull the debris out, it's able to vacuum it up, and that is the first line of defense. Then we have a camera tuck we can send in to actually see what's going on in the line, and closed circuit TV it. And that usually tells us what all the problems are.
And the 300 miles of sewer line that you are charged with the responsibility of caring for, you use the high pressure jetter trucks to clean those lines?
Yes, we use those to clean the lines. We do a lot of routine maintenance, which is a preventative maintenance. We try to avoid having backups. At times it's not easy to do, but we do our best to keep ahead of everything and clean a line before we have a problem.
And of course those lines you note that have problems, and so you have a program called Hansen that produces the monthly orders that tells the staff when they're to clean those lines.
Yes, we do, and we have implemented a new, along with Hansen, a kind of a new system that we're doing in areas, and we're cleaning a lot more lines this way and still keeping up with our routines as we go.
And of course these lines, some of them are cleaned every couple of weeks and some of them are cleaned every couple of years.
Yes.
Depends on the use of the line and problems that we have with those lines, is that correct?
Yes, sir. And we have been going into a little more of the line repair end of it. As we find things that are wrong, we're trying to go in and make point repairs or even full line replacement repairs if we can. Sometimes lines are too deep, and we have to contract those, but generally we're trying to, as we find it, fix it.
Yeah, folks may not know, but some of our lines, I'm thinking down around the Hillcrest area, south at the intersection of Silver Lake and Price Road, back in there, some of those manholes are what, 35 feet deep?
Yes, we have some that are very deep.
Coming up on K-Rig.
We have all, actually around town, we have several that the Oak Park area has some deep lines that are 18 to 20 foot deep.
Have to call Robin down here in just a minute.
Yeah, I think the Batman was calling me.
I think that's exactly what just happened. And so you use these jetter trucks because they're
the most efficient piece of machinery on the market to clean lines, as we know, especially for the size of lines we have.
And how many miles of line a year do you clean, do you think?
We average about 700,000 feet. Right now we're averaging about 41,000 a month, so it's been a good year. I mean, even with some mechanical difficulties with a couple of the trucks.
And I think in that you also use what's called root saws. Tell the public, as they think about cleaning a sewer line. By the way, you'd be glad to give a demonstration to anybody that would.
Oh, yeah, they'd be glad to come out. We'll even let them, like you, open up the back tank and get rid of the debris.
Okay, go right ahead. That wasn't me that did that, but I was there when it happened.
We have a motorized saw that it's on a motor. It has a round cutting head. Yes. It's not a saw motor head. It's more like a electric motor, but it's powered by water, and it will turn about 1700 RPMs, and it saws out when we send it in. It'll saw out everything, the roots and everything that we find. If we happen to have a line that's broken down or has a problem now, it can hang up, and we have to go in and excavate. But so far, we haven't had that happen too many times.
And folks need to understand that the sanitary sewer system and the treatment system itself, Terry, over the last 30 years, 25 or 30 years, a total capital investment that the citizens have made in this system to keep it up to snuff is, how much have we spent?
We spent over $40 million probably in the last 20 years on
some,
that system.
And some of that is because of federal regulations.
It has been, but we've taken that, I guess, that initial push from the federal regulatory branch of us, and we've used that to continue the improvements to the system, to make necessary capacity improvements to it, as well as some maintenance type items where the line is simply very, very old, probably 50, 60, 70 plus years old, and it is broken down and collapsed where we have to replace it in its entirety.
Yeah, over the years, initially, in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, we were under consent decree back then from the EPA, because there's no such thing as the Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality. They assumed primacy from the federal government probably about 15 years ago, but yeah. We dealt with it directly with, I think it's Region 6 of the EPA, and Bartlesville's in kind of a pinch because of its sanitary sewer system. Initially,
okay,
in the late 80s,
contest coming up now,
we were fine. And
remember, dead air is good?
I know, it's good, but I'm fixing to have words with Junior over here.
Can you not mute that thing in the room here?
Well, it's Junior Weaver is who I'm referring to. Evan has a sense of humor.
He's
he's just checking in, making sure everything's okay.
It's 6:05. I love listening to Phil, and then the exchange between Phil and others in the room. It's quite delightful. Early morning radio. Appreciate the work that you do, and right now you've got projects going on in the sanitary sewer. Downtown, it's kind of difficult to get around in places downtown because of why?
Well, we've got sewer lines being repaired. We have a contractor here that is repairing quite a few lines and hopefully making the system better for us. But it is an inconvenience, and it will be an inconvenience for several months. But it's well worth it, because once those lines are repaired, we don't have issues with them anymore.
And the technology, I just say to our listeners, the technology that when we have the YP group that comes to have an education day at the city, they get to play with some of this equipment, see how it works.
They do.
And I think they're fascinated by it. But the technical skills that are required, Terry, of staff to run the root saws, that's one thing. To be able to jet down 300, 400, 500, 600 feet of line, I think that's about the length of the hose that's on those jetters, and to draw that back and to clean that up. But then to go in and make a root application, to use dichlorobenzonitrile, and metam sodium and dichlorobenzonitrile to clean the waste of roots to prevent roots from regrowing in the line. It's a root inhibitor.
Yeah.
Of course, chemically that causes ammonia to rise at the plants. So there has to be a balance of how we do that. Quite technical. And then we have Mike Hall had this vision of buying a grouting machine and to inject grout in the open spaces, and for instance, old clay tile line, 3-foot, 5-foot joints of clay tile, Every 3 or 5 foot, there's a joint that has to be sealed. You go in with a grouting machine, and it came from the oil field. And we use oil field technology that's been redesigned for wastewater, and to inject grout into those joints to keep them from leaking, and keep the groundwater out of the collection system so that it doesn't have to be treated. Those are amazing technologies.
Yes, yeah, they are, and those guys really make it look easy. But especially the Vactor trucks or the jetter trucks, they can pressure the water up to about 3,000 psi. So it's not something that's to be taken nonchalantly. I mean, it can cause some serious damage to themselves and to the property owners if that's not used correctly. So they're constantly adjusting it and monitoring as they clean those lines and run those pieces of equipment. So it does take a good deal of experience and quite what I would call some touch in how they're working that line to make sure that they don't create issues for the property owners and, you know, not a danger to themselves.
Because if there's pressure's not applied properly, if there's a slope in the line that's a little bit on the reverse side, it can push water back up into the homeowner's sanitary sewer.
Yes, sir.
And cause problems in their homes. Todd, who can they call to talk to you about? Perhaps they have some questions or might have a wastewater problem.
918-338-4134 is my office number. And then if I'm not there, they can call the secretary at 918-338-4105. And if they have a call out after hours, we do have a 24-hour call out for any problems with the sewer. They can call 918-338-4055, and that'll be the water plant.
Todd, of course, the department I started in with Barbara Hackmuth several years ago was the wastewater department, and I've known Todd Lansdowne far too long. And but I appreciate
many,
all.
Many good years.
I appreciate all that he does and his staff out there. Slide on over here, Mr. Miller. This is John Miller, a.k.a. It has wheels on it, a.k.a. Red Miller, out at the water department. Morning, Red.
Morning.
Introduce yourself to us, your full name, rank, and serial number.
My name's Red Miller. I'm with the water department supervisor.
And how long have you been in the city of Bartlesville?
Been with the city of Bartlesville 14 years.
What department did you start in?
Started in the street department, worked there for 2 years, went to the engineering department, worked there for 10, then, no, 11, 12, 12 years.
Okay, and then you've slid out to the superintendent?
Slid out to the water department.
And, Red, you got your start in the street department. Of course, you worked for David Scott.
Yeah, I worked for David Scott for 26 and a half years.
Yeah. David came to me and said, please, please hire Red Miller. And for some reason, I'm not sure.
I understand.
He hugs me and kisses me every time he sees me. John, you did work in the street department, worked as a kind of a superintendent there to oversee the processes. And I remember you laying asphalt. Asphalt was a favorite project for you to do.
Yep.
Fondly, I remember you working with the men out in the field, watching the work happen.
Yep.
That's it? And now
he's letting it breathe.
He's going to have to reach over and grab the words and just pull them out. And he's very bad.
No, in the street department, I was an equipment operator, crew leader. They sort of hired me because I had knowledge of how to lay asphalt. And concrete and jackhammers, shovels, sledgehammers, all of it.
So you just kind of a jack of all trades?
Master of none.
Correct. By the way, who hired you?
Keith Henry was wanting to hire me, but Ed Gordon okayed it.
Okay. And now that you work in the water department and as superintendent of the water department, time is short. It's of the essence here. In that capacity, what do you do in the water department?
Well, we work on all main leaks, meter leaks, which predominantly is KB2's leaking.
What? Yes, hold on. these are acronyms. If you're going to talk about a meter setter, call it that.
Okay. Okay, a meter setter will be leaking.
So inside the meter box out in your right-of-way, wherever it's set, is a device called a KV2. That's the device that the meter sets in.
Yes, okay. Yes, and we replace that when they start leaking. And we'll run anywhere from as little as two or three of them a week as many as 15 a week that we have to repair.
And now that we're on meters, John, we kind of backing into this that way. We have an electronic system.
Yes, sir.
And we have a couple of guys. I'm thinking of George Stroud.
Danny Roscoe.
Exactly, Danny Roscoe. They've been around the water department for a long time, mm-hmm. many years, and they work in the meter department.
Yes.
And some of the meters, the reading system doesn't work or goes out, and their responsibility is to do what?
Well, they, what they call are no reads, or they're asleep, and they'll go out and wake them up.
And, Henry Diet.
Yeah, yeah. And if they don't work, they replace the diode. Is that called diode?
The register.
Register in the meter.
And they also check those. Some people think that they read too high. No one ever calls in if they think it's reading too low.
They can't read too high.
But what?
They can't read too high. If they mess up, they just quit reading. So in turn, the customer gets free water. It will never read too high.
Okay, appreciate that explanation. But some people have want their meter checked,
mm-hmm.
For accuracy, mm-hmm. and we do that, don't we?
Yes, we do flow tests on them. If someone's questioning their bill, we'll go out and run a flow test.
That is, you'll take that meter out, and you'll set it on a bench. And you run a known quantity of water through it.
Yes.
To check its accuracy.
Yes.
And that's part of the job that George and Danny Roscoe do, checking those meters, and if they're bad, replacing those.
Yes.
So how many meters do we have in the ground, Mr. Miller?
Thousands. I don't know.
15? 16,000?
16,000.
I think it's
good.
15.
A little bit under 16,000.
Yeah, it's 15.8 something. It's not that I didn't know the answer. I asked this morning before I came to the radio station. And so you're charged with, and the smallest meter we have is a 5/8.
Yes.
Up to
2 inch.
Up to 2 inch. And then for communities, for instance, the city of Dewey, what size is their meter?
8 inch. Oh, the one going feeding, yeah. Dewey. Yes, it's 8 inch. Yes.
8 inch. And how many miles of water main do you have to maintain, Red?
Don't have a clue.
It's about 320
miles.
Yeah.
Oh, so I could drive from here to Kansas City
easily
with that. I mean, that length, that long way.
Yeah.
What's the smallest water main you have, Red?
2 inch.
And the largest?
We have them 12 inch. We don't have
36.
We have
42.
Oh, the ones from the lake, yeah. We got 46 inch.
Yeah. So, and you're charged with maintaining those?
Yes, sir.
Red
lib itself, when we go into a mainline replacement, we'll offset that line, keep it alive, lay our new line. While the people still have water, then we'll switch over their service lines over to our new line, then disconnect the old line, kill the old line.
So you kind of do a dog leg and then...
Yes, sir.
And lay the new main alongside the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's hooked up... And typically, how many feet of main line do you replace a year, do you know?
This year, we done 2,800 foot of line this year.
And of course, and that includes when you all do that kind of work, it's in the front. Typically water lines are in the street or in,
yes, sir,
the right of way in front of a house. So you have to replace all the infrastructure with that. What includes what?
Like the one last two we've done has been in the road. So we've had to cut, saw the road, tear it out, of course, patch it back afterwards. Then we have to saw the people's yards back where we hook in new service lines.
And if you dig up sidewalk and driveways?
Sidewalks, approaches, anything we dig up, we have to replace.
So you have a concrete crew that goes in there and does that?
Yes.
In your
yes.
department?
Yes. J.R. Roop's my concrete man. And the way we live on it is we have to leave the person's place in as good a shape as we found it or better.
And you do that?
Yes, typically better.
John, what kind of line are you replacing typically that's bad? What is it?
Ductile iron line and sand cast line, a lot of that. And we replace it with plastic. Right now, we've been replacing 6-inch lines with 8-inch PVC lines.
And, of course, we're using what product called what? C900?
C900, yes, sir.
Is the weight, is the thickness of the pipe?
It's thickness, yes, sir.
It is polyvinyl chloride. Mm-hmm. And do we ever use any Phillips polyethylene line?
Not on the water side. The wastewater side, we use what we call a slip line, whether it's proprietary to Phillips. But I think Phillips was really one of the innovators for the polyethylene type of pipe that we use for the slip line. So really a lot of the technology that we use had some of its origins here in Bartlesville.
And we do use Phillips Driscoll pipe to slide inside those. And the water line that's under the Caney River that feeds the city of Dewey is polyethylene pipe that's weighted down in the bottom of the river where the sheet piling is there in Johnstone Park. So there's tremendous amount of infrastructure and a huge amount of knowledge that's contained within you two gentlemen that are with us this morning. And let me thank you both for coming in, Mr. Miller, for you and your department and the work that you do to provide water to the citizens of the city. Todd, and it's interesting, people don't complain about the water or the sewer department until it doesn't work. And then it becomes a real necessity. And we're just glad that when we flush it, it goes away, and you turn on the water, it comes out, and we're all happy. Appreciate the work you do. Terry, it's another program to talk about water supply, and I'd like to do that in our next program if we might.
Sure.
I would just mention Evan starts free leaf pickup, begins this week.
Okay.
Next week, 19th through the 23rd. Okay. I'm going to leave this with you. 19th through, is free leaf pickup, and have your leaves set out 19th through the 23rd with your regular pickup, and they'll pick them up for nothing.
Sounds good.
Evan, God bless the city of Bartlesville, and thank you for being such a congenial host.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to One on One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. Into Russia's attempts to influence November's election. We're live with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Mitch McConnell says he agrees with the need to review Moscow's involvement in the election.
The Russians are not our friend.
But McConnell is not endorsing calls for a new select Senate committee to investigate. He'll leave it to the GOP-controlled Senate Intelligence Panel. McConnell says he has the highest confidence in the CIA, which has determined Russia hacked the Democrats.